You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, a radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I am Pastor Ron Barnes, minister of the Heritage Free Presbyterian Church, located in the Hart Highlands area of Prince George. We are at 4020 Balsam Road. I cordially invite you to visit our services. Morning service at 11 a.m. and evening service at 6:30 p.m. Our first hymn is Take My Life and Let It Be. The title of today's message is Recognizing Christ in the Storm, taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 45 through 52. In Mark 6, we have one of the most spectacular and supernatural events recorded in the Bible, Christ walking on water. Jesus walked on water to remind his disciples that he was not only man, but Almighty God who has power over all creation and circumstances, even the raging storms in our lives. Like the disciples in the boat, we need Christ to come and say, "It is I, fear not." I pray that today's message will speak to your heart. But before the message, another hymn, He Keeps Me Singing.
Always loving us. In Mark chapter 6, we have one of the most spectacular and dramatic scenes recorded in the Bible. Christ walking on water. What was Christ's purpose in walking across the sea? Was it simply to get to the other side faster or easier than his struggling disciples? Mark's gospel says that he would have passed by them, suggesting that if they hadn't seen him and had continued struggling through the night, he would have gotten to the far shore ahead of them and been waiting for them. So why did Christ walk on water? Was he just looking forward to seeing the looks on their faces when they found him already there? In fact, the purpose of Jesus' walking on water had nothing to do with getting across the sea and everything to do with fulfilling the Old Testament scriptures that spoke of the nature and mission of the Messiah. In the Old Testament, God empowered men like Moses, Elijah, and Elisha to part the water. But Jesus is the only one that ever walked on the water. We read in Psalm 89, verses 7 and 9, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord, God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Now in this psalm, David describes Jehovah as one who rules the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Similar kind of imagery applies to the Lord Jesus Christ here in Mark chapter 6, verse 51. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. This wasn't the first time Christ subdued severe storms at sea. We read earlier in Mark's gospel in chapter 4, verse 41, a similar event. And the disciples feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Jesus walked on water because he could. He is the God-man. He is Jehovah of Psalm 89. Jesus walked on water to remind his disciples that he was not merely a man, but Almighty God who had power over creation and circumstances. That is why Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, "For by him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." The disciples were terrified by the raging water, and this was magnified when they saw a man walking on the water. They thought it was some strange spirit. And Christ had to identify himself to his disciples. "It is I, fear not." Christ revealed his true divine identity. No one short of deity could walk on water. According to some Bible translators, another legitimate way this verse could be translated is for Jesus to say, "I am is here." God's name, the I Am, reveals the fullness of his nature. All of God's nature and attributes are embodied in this name, I Am. And the disciples witnessed something that never was seen before in the history of the world. Christ walked on water and quieted a raging sea. They were still so amazed when they knew that it was no spirit that they were much more astonished than they ever were before when they saw the wind and the sea obey Christ's commandment. Like the disciples in the midst of the raging storm, there are times in our lives when we don't recognize Christ coming to us. We are so preoccupied, distracted, and absorbed in our troubles that Christ looks strange to us. In those times, Christ must come and remind us, "It is I, fear not." The title of my message, therefore, is Recognizing Christ in the Storm. The first thing I like to say is that we recognize Christ in the storm because Christ has his eye on us. Notice verse 48 of Mark 6. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Christ saw this from his mountaintop and through the darkness of the night, for his heart was with all of them. Yet he would not go to their relief until his own time had come. But what was Christ doing on the mountaintop? We read in verse 46, "And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray." Christ was praying. And what was he praying about? Who was he praying for? Let me suggest to you that one of the things undoubtedly that Christ was praying for was his disciples. He was praying for the men in that boat. Christ praying for his people is emphasized throughout the New Testament. The Apostle Paul identifies Christ in the letter to the Hebrews as our great high priest. Therefore, as our great high priest, one of the things that Christ does is he continually prays and intercedes for his people. Listen to the words of Hebrews 5, verses 6 through 8. "As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." Here in Hebrews 5, Paul is describing what this great high priest was doing. He offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto his Father for his people. Christ indeed prays for his people as our great high priest. And this ought to comfort us in times of trial, in times of trouble, in times of sorrow. We have the Lord Jesus Christ looking down from the mountaintop, as it were, praying for each one of us by name. Christ prayed for Peter. We read in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now in this passage in Luke 22, Peter's faith is spoken of as failing, but it did not fail utterly. He did fall, but he did not fall off or apostatize or forsake his master like Judas did. And the reason why Peter didn't apostatize, the reason why Peter didn't leave the Lord, was because Christ prayed for him. And he prayed with tears. He prayed with such fervency for Peter's soul. Peter did fall, and Peter shamefully denied the Lord. But what kept him from going even further away from the Lord was the prayers of Jesus Christ. And where would we be today, brethren, if we didn't have a Savior, a high priest in heaven who prays for us? How far would we sink? How far would we go in terms of our sin if it weren't for the prayers of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ? Now see, we recognize Christ in our trials because Christ is watching out for us. He recognizes us first. And as He is coming to us, as He reaches out to us in prayer, and even as He comes and draws near to us by His Spirit, we then can recognize Him. Thanks be to God. We have a Savior in heaven. We have a great priest who's watching out for His people. Secondly, recognizing Christ in the storm dispels fear and darkness. We read in verses 49 and 50, "But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled." The word that's translated trouble is much stronger than that. They were literally terrified, the text says, as they saw Jesus walking on the sea. They see a spirit, so they thought. They cried out from fear, as anyone would have done. Perhaps a little touch of sailor superstition. But the sight was remarkable. In the dark night, amidst the tumultuous billows, appeared the form of a man. They thought it was an apparition. See how the disciples take their deliverer to be a destroyer. Their fears were highest when their deliverer and deliverance were nearest. They did not behold Christ with the eye of faith, I like what C.H. Spurgeon observes regarding the reaction of the disciples in the boat. Yes, the disciples saw Him, saw Jesus their Lord, and derived no comfort from the sight. Poor human nature's sight is a blind thing compared with the vision of a spiritual faith. They saw, but knew not what they saw. What could it be but a phantom? How could a real man walk on those foaming billows? How could he stand in the teeth of such a hurricane? We read not that they were troubled before. They were old sailors, but a spirit, that was too much of a terror. They were at their worst now, and yet if they had known it, they were on the verge of their best. It is noteworthy that the nearer Jesus was, the greater was their fear. Want of discernment blinds the soul to its richest consolations. Lord, be near and let me know Thee. Let me not have to say with Jacob, surely God was in this place and I knew it not. And until the disciples recognized that the man walking out on the water was Christ, they were under the grip of fear and darkness. And isn't that oftentimes our experience when we go through storms in life, when we go through trials? We find that oftentimes we don't see Christ. Or if we do see Christ, He is a strange form to us. But once they heard their Master speak to them, "It is I, fear not," all fear was removed. And this leads to my third point. We recognize Christ in the storm because we hear His voice. Verse 50, "And immediately He talked with them and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." There's something in these two little words, "it is I," which from the mouth that spoke it and the circumstances in which it was uttered passes the power of language to express. Here they were in the midst of a raging sea, their little boat the sport of the elements, and with just enough of light to view an object on the waters which only aggravated their fears. But Jesus deems it enough to dispel all apprehension to let them know that He was there. But spoken by one who at that moment was treading upon the waves of the sea and was about to hush the raging elements with His word. What was it but the voice which cried of old in the ears of Israel, even from the days of Moses, "I am. I am He." Christ went to the disciples and found them in their danger. What relief and joy and consolation must have flooded the hearts of the disciples. Christ is here. All is well. Christ is here. Nothing can harm us now. The man walking on the water was not a spirit. It was our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. And there was no mistaking that voice. A Christian author writes, "If Isaac knew the voice of Jacob, Saul the voice of David, and Rhoda the voice of Peter, much more did the apostles know the voice of the great Master." And isn't that so comforting when we go through our trials and go through our storms in life, is that when Christ comes and speaks, we hear His voice because we know His voice. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, three times, Christ refers to His sheep who hear the voice of their shepherd. Listen to these three references in John 10, verse 3. "To Him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear His voice. And He calleth His own sheep by name and leadeth them out." John 10, verse 16. "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd." John 10, verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep, my people, those who have the true spirit of my followers. The name is given to His people because it was an illustration which would be well understood in a country abounding in flocks. And these people, these sheep, were known for hearing the voice of the shepherd. It means that they hear and obey His commandments. And they follow after the shepherd. Flock follows its shepherd to pastures and streams. Christians not only obey Christ, but they imitate Him. They go where His Spirit and providence lead them. They yield themselves to His guidance and seek to be led by Him. When Jesus was upon earth, many of His disciples followed or attended Him from place to place. And in Mark 6, the disciples heard Christ say to them, "It is I, fear not." And immediately they knew the man walking on the water was not a spirit, but their good shepherd, because they knew that voice. And when Christ identifies himself, he identifies it with the words, "It is I." That was all they needed to hear, because they knew the voice of the shepherd. Do you know the voice of Jesus Christ? Do you have a relationship with Christ? Do you have that closeness and that walk with the Lord? That when you go through trouble, when you go through trial, do you hear the shepherd speaking to you because you are his sheep? Or you have to say, "I don't know that voice. That voice isn't familiar to me." Who is that stranger? Is Christ a stranger to you? Or is he real to you? Is he your master? Is he your Lord? The one way that we can find out whether he is or not is when we go through the storms, when we go through the trials, and Christ comes to us and speaks to us. Our hearts identify that voice as the voice of Christ, our Savior and our Master and our Lord. What a difference Christ makes when he comes to his people and speaks just a few words. We just need someone to come and just say a few words to pick us up or to encourage us. That's what Christ does here. He just says a few words. He identifies himself, "It is I, fear not." And that was enough to dispel the fear, to encourage the disciples in the boat, because they knew the voice of the Master. We recognize Christ in the storm because we hear his voice. We are his sheep and he is our shepherd. And yet how many people today are trying to row themselves out of it? They're trying to eliminate the toil in their own strength. And what they need is one to come. What they need is Christ to come and speak to them and assure them that all is well. I am here with you in this trial. I'm with you in this suffering. We have that blessing, brethren. We have that privilege. We know Jesus in that way. Fourthly, recognizing Christ in the storm leads to safety on the other side. Once they recognized that that man walking on the water was indeed Christ, not only were their fears subdued, not only was the darkness removed, but Christ brought them home safely. We read in verse 51, "And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered." Verse 51, "And he went up unto them into the ship." Now John's Gospel says, "Then they willingly received him into the ship," or rather, "then were they willing to receive him," with reference to their previous terror, implying that they were so glad to see Christ, they welcomed him into the ship. Their first fears now converted into wonder and delight. And John adds, "And immediately they were at the land where they went." This additional miracle is recorded by John alone. Mark doesn't record this miracle of the disciples getting to the land, but John does. And when we recognize Christ, welcome Christ into the boat, he takes us home safely. And even though our circumstances may feel unbearable at times, we can rest assured that our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will preserve us through them and bring us safely home. When Christ comes and says those words, "It is I, fear not," all is well with our souls. That's what we need in our trials and in our sufferings, is Christ come near and draw near to us and speak to us. And when Christ comes, He will help us to get to the other side. It's the only way you can get to the other side if you're here tonight. If you're trying to get to the other side in your own strength or in your own thoughts, you're going to fail. You need Jesus to come and still the storms so that you can glide home safely to the other side. Do you have that assurance? Do you have that peace in your soul that Christ will bring me to the other side? I would urge you tonight to look to Jesus and trust in Him, for He alone is the one who brings His people safely through to the other side. Recognizing Christ in the storm leads us to safety on the other side. In closing, the disciples found themselves in the middle of a raging storm. Jesus came to them walking on the water. We recognize Christ in the storm because Christ has His eye on us. Recognizing Christ in the storm dispels fear and darkness. We recognize Christ in the storm because we hear His voice. He is the shepherd and we are His sheep. Recognizing Christ in the storm leads us to safety on the other side. May the Lord help us to recognize Christ in our storms. May He give us that sight of faith that when trials come, we might not just see the trials and the darkness and be overwhelmed with the fear, but that we might see Christ coming after us.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak. I am Ron Barnes, pastor of the Heritage Free Presbyterian Church, located in the Hart Highlands area of Prince George. I warmly invite you to visit the church. We have Sunday school for children, young people, and adults beginning at 10 a.m. Our morning service begins at 11 a.m. and our evening service at 6:30 p.m. The church address is 4020 Balsam Road, Prince George, British Columbia, V2K1Z9. Our phone number is 250-962-8232. You can listen to other messages preached by Pastor Barnes on www.sermonaudio.com. Thank you for tuning in to Let the Bible Speak. May the Lord richly bless you.